You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy. Sorry, we're having some technical issues at the moment, so we're just going to get straight to it. There we go.
How appropriate that we would have technical issues. Fortunately, the geeks are in the house.
Yes, I'm just waiting for the...
Yeah, go ahead and restart that thing.
The whole computer?
Yeah, turn it off and back on again.
Let's see here.
I think start button's in the upper right-hand corner. Woohoo. All right. Well, you know, we don't have our theme music or anything.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. And it was like, I'm done.
I was going to say, that was actually some pretty awesome theme music. It would have worked really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had kind of a technical aspect to it. So anyway, well, hey, welcome to the world of Catalina, huh?
Yeah, it's been a rough week for us.
It's been a rough week for Catalina?
At least, yeah, in my world, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Uh-huh. Got it. Well, you know, I downloaded and put on the Catalina beta 2 months ago. May have been 3 months ago, something like that. And I really haven't had any troubles with it. You know, it's like, well, it looks like we got a call already. Let's...
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, I purchased a Galaxy S8 a couple of months ago, and now the screen is going all wonky and is discolored. Do you know anything about that?
Does it have any lines in it? Is it like kind of dark around the edges? Can you describe describe it a little bit? Or did I just describe it?
Yeah, it has pastels up and down with streaks in it, and then each side looks like tabs on an index card.
Wow.
It almost sounds like the CCD got cracked.
Was there any trauma to the device?
None whatsoever.
You can tell us we're not recording this, so.
Okay. No, to the best of my knowledge, I'd say not. And it was, of course, could have been done in shipping. I'd never know it. But it's only a couple of months old. Do you think something like that is warranted?
Definitely.
Yeah, I would definitely talk to the where you acquired it, see what's going on. Could be like the connector between the screen and the main board is loose, or you know, things like that could happen. So, but usually, if there's lines like that, it usually is an indication of something's going on with the CCD in there.
Gotcha. All right. I'll follow up.
Hey, thanks for the call. Let us know how it goes.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care.
In-kind support for KDNK comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. All right.
Guess it's just me.
Just you?
They used to be just breaking the doors down to underwrite KDNK Geek Speak, but, you know, have our ratings gone down? I don't think they have.
I don't think they have much.
I mean, I still get throngs of adoring fans wanting my autograph. So, well, one asked for my autograph.
Excellent.
So, tell me about your experiences with that. So for those of you who aren't up to speed on this, in the Mac world, Apple came out with this is probably one of the biggest operating system upgrades, in the last couple of years, I would say.
Yeah, I would say probably
since El Capitan.
Yeah, I was going to say Mavericks, then El Capitan, and you know, the other ones, you know, they're more incremental.
They're just updates, basically. Yeah. So, yeah. So this one's got some pretty major, anyway, so what was your experience with it, Matt? What's happened?
All right. So I got a message from a guy who does tech around here. He's mainly in the programming world. And he's like, hey, do you have a copy of Mavericks? And I was like, let me look. And it's like, yeah, I do. Do you need it? And he's like, well, yeah, I upgraded Catalina. Because he says he does this every year. He has everything in iCloud. So basically he nukes the computer, loads the new software, and then brings all his stuff back off of iCloud. And anyway, this year he had some trouble with that. And had to find a copy of Mojave,
okay,
to throw back on there and bring all of his stuff back on, and then he had to wait a little while.
Got it.
Then we had another gal that I know in the tech world here upgrade, and it was we don't know if there was something going on with Sophos and Catalina, but she was having some really strange networking issues going on with it.
Got it.
And then finally I had my Mac just came up and said, hey, you want to upgrade to a Catalina? And I said, sure. And I upgraded it. And the other night it just stopped. Completely hung up, just stopped, didn't want to do anything more.
Okay.
I rebooted, and my user was gone. Just disappeared into the ether. So luckily I had a fairly recent backup of that. So I ran Time Machine before. I made sure I was plugged in when I had Mojave on there. And so then I downgraded and everything, and then upgraded again, and everything's been fine since.
Got it.
So,
okay.
And then one other thing I noticed, one of my other clients uploaded, and they have an older version of Office on there, Office 2011.
It'll kill that one.
And it says, no more, nope. Yep. So moving that one back to Mojave as well.
Yeah, so Catalina does not support 32-bit applications whatsoever. So I know most of our listeners probably don't give a darn, but anyway, the older versions of Microsoft Office are 32-bit. And it does seem to me like they should give you a little bit of a courtesy warning before you pull the trigger.
Going, hey, the big change here is this is going away.
Is that not only are you going to get Catalina, but you're going to have to subscribe to Office 365 if you're on Office 2011 or older.
Yeah, or basically switch over to LibreOffice 6.3 or something.
There you go. Exactly.
Those are your options.
So, yeah. So anyway, if anybody wants to call in, our number is 970-963-2976. We will walk you through jiggling your cables.
Printer problems.
If you need help turning it off and back on again, we know how to do that. And that's about it, right?
Well, that'll cover 85, 90% of it, yeah.
Exactly. So we'll ask you if you've got a surge protector or not. And
Now that lightning season's kind of slowed down, although I suppose we could get some thunder snow still.
Yep. So... So let's see. My experience with Catalina has been, like I said, I installed the beta a couple months ago. Didn't really have any problems with that. That thing seemed to be, you know, pretty simple and straightforward. A lot of the Adobe Creative Cloud apps, if you are on Adobe Creative Cloud and you haven't updated lately, you should. Now you can wait until after the Catalina upgrade, to do that, but you've got to know full well that your Adobe apps will probably not work in the interim.
Mm-hmm.
Because the early Creative Cloud versions of the apps were 32-bit and they won't run. So one of the updates that I've done was, the guy was a designer. It was a pretty major deal for him when he went to open his Adobe apps, and they literally crash. You get a full-blown Adobe crash report and a screen full of gibberish, and it can be pretty intimidating for people. So I strongly recommend you get those updated before you do the Catalina update. And the other thing we should talk about is the end of iTunes.
Yes.
So what does that mean? It's been a good run.
When did it come out? 2000, almost 2000? Or was it 1999? It's been a while.
Yeah, you know, I actually came across an article that said something about that. But the date that they gave, they said something about since 2013. I'm like, no, it's been a lot longer than that. It's been the early 2000s since iTunes, you know, has been around.
Yeah, because it came out when OS X, when they upgraded from OS 9 to OS 10, the original Tiger, whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess the way I heard it described that makes it a little bit less traumatic for people is if you're like an iPhone user, you haven't had iTunes for a long time. Basically, what they're doing is on Catalina, they're going to the same app set as on the iPhone, has been in the iPhone world for a long time, and iPad. So it's basically, you're going to have an app called Music. You're going to have an item called
a podcast or something,
Apple Podcasts, and an item called Apple TV. And basically all of your, all of your video media is going to be moved to Apple TV, Your app podcast is pretty self-explanatory. And then all of your audio media is going to be moved, or is basically going to be in Apple Music. So, and I guess one of the reasons that they felt it was important to do that is because so much less of the media market has to do with the purchasing of items. And, you know, basically so much of it has to do with subscription basis these days. And, you know, I got to say, I basically took the plunge and subscribed to Apple Music probably a year ago. And I really like it. You know, I mean, to be able to pull up anything you want to hear is really nice. You know, it's now the one thing that's kind of frustrating is those stupid little clouds with the arrows pointing down out of them when you're in an area with bad coverage. Which means that you can't listen to whatever you want.
Unless you've already downloaded it.
Yeah, chances are you can't listen to anything at that moment. So that's one downside to it. But
I've subscribed to Napster still.
Oh, do you? You're so old school.
Well, then Metallica's back on there, so we're good.
Okay.
And Tool's finally on there as well.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah.
So. Nice. I mean, what kind of a moral death did Lars Ulrich have to die to like give himself over to Napster? You know, it's like that would be like Steve Jobs saying it's okay for iOS devices to run Flash, you know.
Right.
Although Steve Jobs isn't around to say that anymore, and not to be sacrilegious with the memory of Steve Jobs. Don't get me wrong, but
you could use it as his grave as a perpetual motion machine after that.
Okay. Well, at least it's not flying through space playing Space Oddity, you know?
Right.
So, anyway, now I guess the big question is, once again, 963-2976, if you want to call in, bring all your tech questions to us. If you're looking at buying a new device for Christmas, for instance, if you're looking at buying an old device, if you're wondering if
a
Chromebook is right for you or not.
Mm-hmm. I've deployed a lot of Chromebooks. They've been they've been great little machines. Mm-hmm. I've been very pleased.
The price is very seductive.
It is.
Yes. When I saw 16 gigabyte SSD, solid state, the hard drive's 16 gigabytes, I'm like, I can't store anything on that. So hence the cloud.
Yeah, right? Everything lives on the cloud.
Yeah. So the million-dollar question is, what happens to iTunes for Windows? Do you know that question? Do you know the answer to that question?
I do not. But I was looking at the Wikipedia article for iTunes. It was initially released on January 9th, 2001.
Wow.
18 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty impressive. I don't know how many pieces of software can tout that. Maybe QuickBooks, right?
Well, I was going to say... Yeah.
QuickBooks have been around longer than that, actually.
Yeah, system. Well, I was going to say operating systems are about the only thing I can think of. Firefox and a few others, but
exactly.
There's not a lot of them that have been around that long.
Yeah. Now, you remember what Firefox was originally called?
What's your Netscape Navigator?
No, that's a whole different.
Well, it's
a whole different branch.
Well, they bought it. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of complicated things that happened there during the HTML wars.
I think it was Mosaic.
Was it part of Mosaic?
And well, that's where Mozilla came from.
Okay.
The name Mozilla. So, yeah, there was the original web browser. The web browser to have was NCSA Mosaic. That was if you're going to go graphical, that is. So that's how old school I am, man. I was reading the World Wide Web in a textual basis, you know, when I first got on.
It's actually not bad now.
Basis isn't bad?
Well, no, I've actually, for a while, I just opened up a terminal window and ran links.
Okay.
LYNX.
Yeah, that's what, a newsreader, right?
No, it's a full-blown HTML interpreter. It just skips the video. So you just get the content and none of the other things. So
got it. Okay.
It was actually uninhibiting.
Uh-huh. And are you using Pine to read your email as well? So.
Mutt.
Mutt?
It's okay. It's an IMAP client for terminal. Yeah. Now, I use... Thunderbird as a backup.
Okay.
So I just leave that running in the background, and if the internet goes down, I can be like, well, what did I get right before the internet came down?
Yeah. while we're digressing into internet trivia, do you know what PINE stands for?
No.
So the original, well, I think one of the original mail readers before the internet became graphic was called Elm. And so the guys who came out with PINE basically named it PINE. It stands for PINE is not Elm. As their own little dig at no, it's not Elm. It's,
excellent.
Yeah. It's a whole different type of tree. So anyway.
Yeah.
That's pretty geeky. So I guess the answer is that iTunes for Windows is going to stick around for a while. And
You'll be able to use it until Windows upgrades to a point where you can't keep it installed anymore.
Yeah. You know, my biggest apprehension is if I'm a Windows user, and I don't feel comfortable backing my iPhone up to the cloud. You know, I mean, I frequently and for clients will back up iPhones to a terrestrial machine, you know, because I just want to have that backup there.
Yeah. So you can go into and plug your phone, nuke your phone, plug it into iTunes and say restore.
Yeah. And right now, I don't know if you knew this or not, but there are certain things that you cannot do with a cloud-based iOS backup. And one of them is if you have a device, like say you have an old iPad and you back it up to the cloud and you want to basically, and you've got a brand new iPad and you want to restore it from that cloud-based, you can't do it. That button's grayed out. The restore button is. So, however, if you have a terrestrial-based backup on your computer, the button is active, so you can restore from it. And I just learned this, you know. So
that's something somewhat recent, or just didn't know.
I have no idea. I've never tried it before, and I was pretty. And of course, I went in, you know, to this call with this customer saying, "Oh yeah, no problem, we'll get that done." And I go to do it, and it's like, "Huh, button's grayed out. What's going on with that?" You know, and so anyway, it's just one other little twist. But I guess they're going to keep iTunes around for the PC platform. They're not promising that it's going to stick around forever, but they're just saying that for now we're going to leave it intact. And I'm guessing they'll probably end up replacing with the Apple, you know, the same triad of programs. And so you'll have to make the leap. Mm-hmm. If you're a PC user. So.
Well, it looks like the latest version was released 11 days ago, so.
The latest version of iTunes for Windows?
Yep.
Okay.
12.10.1.
Well, I'm glad that the iTunes for Windows developers haven't been put out to pasture. So, that they're the only iTunes developers in the building anymore at Apple, so.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, what else is going on out there, Matt?
Oh, I don't know. I've been too busy to look through that lately. Mm-hmm. I've just been, a lot of little things, networks going down and, I don't know if it's the change of the season or what, but there's just been a little hiccups that have chewed up a lot of time to go and troubleshoot.
Cool. Well, you know, it's kind of funny how your business and my business seem to have their own flavors. And for me, it's been big projects. You know, which I'll take big projects all day long.
Yep. You know, yeah, I like big projects.
You know, rather than like running around playing whack-a-mole, you know, trying to, you know, put out the gremlins here and there.
Especially with new clients, it's been like that.
Yep. So, gosh, I just thought of something that we could, I've actually kind of seen a rash of these. We used to bore people with the security information and stories all the time. We've been kind of light on that actually, but I've seen a whole rash of these emails that show up that a lot of times they'll have something, they'll have like an old password of yours in the subject line.
I got a bunch of those last spring.
Did you?
It was like, oh, we got dirt on you and here's your old password and
yeah. Well,
et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and I've had several of them. I've had probably three or four in the last 2 weeks, you know, customers calling me up and saying, you know, these guys have video of me enjoying my favorite adult websites, and I don't even know who the video is of because I don't do adult websites or, you know, whatever, and they want 900 Bitcoin $900 worth of whatever the fractional of Bitcoin is on that. And so bottom line is that's a scam. And if you happen to get one of those, do not send the Bitcoin to those people. And it's, you know, it, you know, I would say the only reason that I would be concerned is if they make reference to like a really current password, then you may have, you know, you may have a live one, you know, but for the most part, those passwords come from
all kinds of
the
old things.
Equifax breach. Well, actually, it's even older than that. It's like the Target breach. And there are lists of username and password pairs freely available on the dark web. And so have you ever been on the dark web, Matt?
I just use Tor sometimes.
Is that, that's like a special browser, right?
So it, technically no, but it uh-huh. it's kind of a, it's a VPN that was developed by, I'm trying to think of who all, but basically the Air Force. And so it stands for the Onion Router, Tor.
Okay.
And basically what it does is it bounces your traffic through a bunch of intermediaries online, and they kind of, mm-hmm. you can think of it as an onion.
It's an anonymizer. Yeah. Basically. Yeah. And every time it goes through one of those points,
the encryption changes and goes to a new key and then goes to a new key.
Got it.
And so,
that's what browsing the dark web consists of. You just have to be anonymous. Is that,
well, so you have inside of that, you have .onions. Mm. So you can go to something.onion in the Tor browser, and that's a website that's hosted inside of the Tor system.
So they have their own DNS.
Essentially,
That references these .onion addresses. That's kind of cool.
And I haven't played with that very much at all, so I just, mm-hmm. I don't know a lot about it. Yeah. But my understanding is that exists, and there's a way to have a host something inside of that mm-hmm. system to be able to do that.
Got it. Okay. Not that I would hold it against you if you had, because, I mean, the only way to do this job is to understand the enemy.
Absolutely.
You know, that's my thing. You know, I mean, there was one point where when one of my big clients that's a very security-oriented business first went on the internet over a broadband connection, I kind of freaked me out. I was just like, wow. I mean, to think that if somebody hacked this, they could get a lot of really sensitive information about a bunch of people. Kind of freaked me out. So I like went out one night and Googled, it's like, how do you hack? Uh-huh. How do you break into people's computers? And before you know it, I was like leaving stuff on the desktops of my friends' computers. And, you know, I was having a good old time and said, hey, give me a call. We need to talk about internet security. You know, I just like leave a note on their desktop, you know, mm-hmm. so, but, and you could also, I found a couple of networks where there were, printers
uh-huh.
that I could connect to. And I printed some stuff on them, and that was kind of fun. So,
yep, did that in high school.
I wasn't around to see the reaction of the people who, you know, I mean, it wasn't, none of it was off color or anything, but I was just being kind of, you know, kind of goofy, you know. So anyway, and I was not even on the dark web. I don't think they'd even invented the dark web. So
yeah, I haven't looked at what Silk Road or any of those things are doing these days.
So I wonder if you go to thedarkweb.com, what you get.
That sounds a little dangerous.
Oh, it's for sale.
Oh, it's parked. Darn it. That's not nearly
It's probably
much fun.
Pretty expensive.
Probably. So, that's probably a huge.
Yeah.
I wonder what their search results would be for that. I have to go on AdWords and see what that has to say.
Yeah, definitely. So.
Yeah, I'm sure they want like $100,000 or something mm-hmm. like that for that one.
Yeah. You know, I have never inquired about a parked domain and like been quoted any kind of a reasonable price.
Yeah, I've had the same thing. It's like, oh, I want this domain. It's for sale. And they want, and it's like, you want what? It's like, no, I'll just go get the .net or mm-hmm. .org or something else.
Yeah. Now, I actually was trying to buy trying to get the domain. I got this brilliant idea that I was going to book, like, try to, like, get the domain faunews.com. And it's already taken. And of all things, the guy that owns it's like this ultra-conservative guy. And he's just doing it to try and protect the brand, you know? So, anyway. All right. Give him the outro there, Matt.
All right. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks for running the board, Matt.
All right. We'll be back the first week in November.
Woohoo.
See you then.
Yep. Don't touch your knob.